Welcome to episode 114 of the PowerCast. This episode is C.T. Fletcher. We've been trying to get C.T. on the show for quite some time. We finally nailed it down, and he was able to join us this week. You may have seen part of this on YouTube. Actually, the whole thing is on YouTube live, and not everybody has really had a chance to catch up with that yet. So anyway, the produced version will be on YouTube today as well if you'd like to see what we look like when we're talking. CT had so much to say that is so far beyond what you would normally hear in his YouTube videos. There's so much to learn about his background and his philosophy, his worldview, how he came to be where he is now, and how sometimes dying is the very best thing that could possibly happen to you as long as you come back to life. Our sponsors for this episode, as always, HowMuchYouBench.net, ThePowerMagazine.com, CavemanCoffeeCo.com, Compex USA at ShopCompex.com, and Rogue Fitness at ThePowerCast.com/Rogue. And this is a particularly good time to remind you, in an episode as good as this one, to give us a 5-star on iTunes. You want to just search for Mark Bell's PowerCast on iTunes. Don't do it off of your subscriptions. When that comes up, there's a review tab. Actually, when that comes up, there's the show icon. Hit the show icon, and then when that comes up, hit the review tab, and then you'll be able to rate the show, and we would definitely appreciate that. And now on with episode 114 of the PowerCast.
Recorded live at Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California, this is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
$1.50.
$1.50?
Soaked in wet.
What you got, Smelly?
He's like three 150s,
yeah. Yeah, he claims 350, but he's probably more like four.
Yeah. Damn,
yeah,
really?
This chubby son of a bitch.
He's
yeah.
a big dude.
No shit.
Yeah. Big. It's a big boy.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop.
That's like rappers sometimes, though. They'll have a voice like that, and then you see him in a music video, like, that guy's 130 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I went with that.
So this show usually runs for about an hour. And if you could try not to fart, that would be great. But if it happens, it happens, right?
I will try, but if you see these microphones right here vacated.
You're all by yourself?
You know what happened.
Yeah, we'll understand.
Especially after that coffee.
Oh, my God. What the fuck you got in here?
Yeah. Starbucks hooks it up.
I mean, shots straight of espresso up. You got in here. Yeah. I won't be able to sleep for 3 days.
Trying to start that engine in there.
Oh, yeah.
trying to start that pacemaker.
Trying to blow the motherfucker out. That's what she's trying to do. He's starting this shit.
So what you been up to? You just had your movie premiere,
yeah,
out in Las Vegas around the time of the Mr. Olympia, and what you got going on now?
Well, first, let me say thanks to you and Silent Mike for coming out making the premiere, man.
No, thank you for having us.
It was fantastic, man. I never expected that many motherfuckers to show up for my ass. You know what I mean? So.
I changed my flight. I was like, oh, he invited me. I better change my fucking flight.
You see? Change the fucking flight for me, man. That makes me feel special.
Yeah, well, you are. It was awesome. It was cool to see, too.
Kai Greene was there. The Baileys were there. Everyone was there. It was awesome.
All the top motherfuckers in our field of what we do was there, man.
Yeah.
He didn't make the Olympia, but he made the fucking premiere of my movie.
And he looked jacked as fuck in that suit.
Man, that fucking
it's like
suit
exploding
was
out of his suit.
If he done anything, if he sneezed, that motherfucker would have been ripped to pieces. So it was really cool, and you know I want to let everybody know that first of all I ain't make shit from the movie. If you think, ooh, CT's got money now, nah, bullshit. I didn't make a goddamn penny, but that's okay because that wasn't my purpose of making a movie. The purpose of making a movie was to get my story out there, to tell my mom's story, and you know, they make a decent movie and not have people want to throw shit at the screen. So
yeah.
I think they did that. I think they made a good movie, so fuck, I'm happy.
Where can people find it now?
Only on Vimeo, man.
Vimeo?
Vimeo.com. I kind of think that's bullshit, Generation Iron. I think, you know, people should be able to get it in more than one spot. But right.
That's where it's at.
You know, it ain't my fucking call, man.
What's the deal with all this technology? Are you up to date on all of it? With your... You're always talking about how old you are.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But you're on Twitter and you're all over the place, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. I'm on every fucking thing you can get on.
So you figured a lot of it out.
No, I didn't figure shit out. I got a bunch of kids and they figured it out.
Right, right. They help you.
Yeah, I say, hey, I don't know. Put me on this shit. I don't know my logins. I don't know none of that shit. I just, hey, log me into this shit. Only thing I do completely on my own is Twitter.
Right.
Because it's up to date. And so when you see the Twitter shit, then that's totally me.
Yeah, you're pretty active on there, too.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I'm all, because I'm fucking up all night, man. And I know I'm going to be drinking this shit. Whatever the fuck you got in here, man. God dang.
You have a hard time sleeping?
Yes.
Has that always been that way?
I think since my open heart surgery, I've had a pretty rough time sleeping at night.
Does your penis keep you awake?
Sometimes it motherfucker will wake me up and tap me and say, hey, motherfucker, you ain't using me, you know, in 3 or 4 days now. What the fuck?
Our time's up. Yeah, it's like a ticking time bomb, I think.
Yeah, hey, motherfucker, I'm just hanging out here. I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah, well, it happens to me. It takes one to know one, you know? Shit. What was the start of the movie? How'd the idea start to get kicked around?
Well, you know, I tried to do it. I'm also glad you asked that. I tried to make the movie myself because I wanted to. I really just wanted to get my mom's story out there more because, you know, she passed away, and I thought that
how long ago did she pass away?
In 2004.
Okay.
And I thought she was a saint, and I wanted everybody to know what a great woman she was. So I tried to make the movie myself.
How are some people so fucking powerful like that?
Oh,
does
man.
Does it make you wonder? You know, you're known for being strong and stuff, but you're just thinking, I ain't shit compared to what my mom can
do. Exactly. Right? There's, you know, a lot of different types of strength. And the kind she exuded, just, you know, my little shit just pales in comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings? I forgot that from the movie.
Yeah, good question. I have a older brother and a younger brother and 5 sisters.
Oh, wow. Were you guys close at all? You kind of go your separate ways?
We were not. My sisters and myself were not raised together. So I love them to death, but we weren't raised in the same house. You know, my dad treated them fucking horribly also, but not in the same way he treated me hard. We just never fucking seen him.
Yeah.
You know, never. And I'm sure they have a bunch of kids that he don't even have never met. But I just found out about my youngest sister maybe a year ago. Yeah, she's a little bit younger than me, and I didn't even know. But her mother was the babysitter for her and myself. So my dad was fucking the babysitter.
Oh, wow.
And I found out I got a sister, man. Yeah.
Wow. You know, in the film, you go and talk to your dad a little bit. Pretty, like, awkward scene. You mentioned years of child abuse and stuff like that. And that must have been really hard to, you know, to even go and talk to him. But you say that you do see him several times a year. Why in the film did you not confront him? Is it like, just too bad of memories? There's no point in going there anymore? He's too old? Or
all of the above. Yeah, First of all, I didn't want to go because you're right. I see my dad on his birthday, August the 4th, and on December 25th on Christmas.
And you said that's for your mom.
Yeah,
you go because that's for your mom.
Exactly.
Wants.
Yeah. She would want that, you know. For she, you know, it was a big thing for her, for me and my dad to make peace. Right. She was always the peacemaker, always trying to make peace. And I didn't want to go because it wasn't fucking his birthday and it wasn't Christmas. But the generation I'm, we think would be great if we had a scene with your dad. So I really, really didn't want to go because this was an unscheduled visit.
Right.
And so we go over, I mean, over anything over 10 minutes, and I'm ready to get the fuck out of here, man. We have, you know, nothing in common. And one thing they asked him, and I don't know if it came out real clear in the movie, but they asked him if he had any fond memories of me and him when I was a kid. And he absolutely had none. And I wanted to hear the answer to that because I didn't have none either. And I'm like, man, what can this motherfucker think of something?
Yeah,
I want to hear it. So I didn't have any, and he didn't have any either. So, you know, but I feel sorry for him now.
Right. Is that kind of okay?
Yeah.
You put out a certain energy, CT, and me and Mark figured that out within 10 minutes of hanging out with you a couple months ago doing the interview. You know, you're There's certain personalities in the world that people want to hang out with. There's certain personalities in the world that people get motivated by with. Do you think you got that from your mom, or do you think that's just something going through hard times? You kind of became, you know, the guy people want to – just positive energy is what you're spewing out. How'd you earn that?
You know what? Is much as I don't want to give this motherfucker credit, I think my dad had a lot to do with it. Because he was an Army veteran, a Korean War veteran. And in the public, he had one hell of a personality. Gotcha. One hell of a persona.
Oh, you said a lot of people loved him. I remember that, yeah.
The members of his church loved the fuck out of him.
Yeah. He was a minister?
Yes, right. He was a preacher. And, I mean, the people, it was, you know, one public persona. And then the man at home. Two totally different people. Totally different people.
Did you see him, you know, talk in front of the church and stuff many times?
A lot. I see him. And, I mean, there were women in the church who would listen to my dad way before they listened to their own husband.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No matter what he said, you know, fuck. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought that was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, who want to be married to a woman that's going to listen to any motherfucker?
Yeah.
Before she, I'm her husband. Yeah. He's going to like, man, fuck that. Get on, goddamn it, fuck that. You love him that much, you take your punk ass on over there to him.
Well, it sounds like he just had a lot of charisma and, you know, some people, that's exactly what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for a message from somebody who, you know, they feel that buzz from. And apparently they weren't getting that at home. I don't know.
Yeah. No buzz at home.
No buzz at home.
Yeah, he was definitely the buzz motherfucker. He was the Pied Piper, and he had a bunch of, you know.
Yeah. He wasn't into lifting at all?
No, but he was yoked.
Yeah, just jacked.
Yeah, he was jacked without lifting. I mean, if you've seen his pictures, he looked like he lifted. He looked like he lifted weights. He was about 230, just natural.
He'd do pull-ups, push-ups, nothing?
He did a gang of push-ups.
Oh, all right. So he worked out a little bit, just not like bench or nothing.
He did a bunch of push-ups. I see him knock out 100 just like it wasn't nothing. You know, he knocked out a bunch of push-ups. But he boxed. That was his thing. That was his
way. Did he have a bad temper otherwise, or was it more mainly just stuff at home?
He had a bad temper all the time.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Did you get some of that, too, in your younger years?
Yeah, just like I said, I hate to give this motherfucker credit.
Yeah.
But a lot of me, you know, I see a lot of him in me, and I don't like it, man.
You got guys like Shaquille O'Neal. You know, Shaquille O'Neal's dad, all he did was turn his back on him completely.
Yeah.
But that turned him into Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
Mike Tyson was abused as a kid.
Yep.
Kind of same. I mean, there's tons and tons of people that have had those situations happen, and they don't want to give credit, but it hardened them and made them different than everybody else.
Well, I think the number one thing is that you're aware of it, right? And you're like, all right, I'm aware I have a temper. And then you can control it better than you're like, no, I'm fine. Fuck you. I'm fine. Like, that's when the issues arise, when you don't think you have a temper and you do.
Definitely aware of it. Yeah. Definitely aware of it. And I fucking hate it. You know, it's a lot better since I got once you died a couple of times and you seem to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, your perspective on life changes, I imagine.
Takes the edge off.
Going through anything tragic, you know, we talk about death and addictions and everything else here on the podcast. And, you know, we've all been through deaths. Everyone has had deaths in their family. You've been through extreme things on your own. Perspective on everything kind of changes.
Oh,
and then
big
your personality
time.
Tends to change.
Big time. I mean, the things that you know you are afraid of before after you've died. I mean, because I always ask myself, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen? And you die.
Yeah,
you fucking die. And after you've actually done it, everything else sort of pales in comparison.
Is there something simple that happened? Like you were afraid of spiders, and then you went kind of through this thing, and then now you're not afraid of spiders?
Even dumber than that.
Yeah.
And, Mark's belly bill, of course, he's probably heard about it. I knew he was going to ask me about it, because Silent Mike beat him to it. I used to be fucking terrified of statues, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like gargoyles or just anything?
Gargoyles. All of that shit.
I don't blame you.
Really? Good, hey, man.
A gargoyle? Fuck, man.
No, but not just gargoyles. Any kind of fucking... If the statue was bigger than me, I was fucking afraid.
Even if it was like an angel or something pretty?
It didn't matter.
Ghostbusters must have really freaked you out.
Oh, my God. I'm in fucking... The Las Vegas, the Caesar's Palace?
Yeah, yeah, where statues everywhere.
And they got fucking statues everywhere, and this fucking big ass statue of David. You know, David, I'm a Bible guy. I like Bible stories, but that fucking statue was too big. And I didn't want nobody to know, but I'm like, fuck, I don't want to take it. I'm like, take a picture. fuck that. Take a picture by this slot machine. Fuck this statue, man.
So, did you feel like they're going to move? Or?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, they're just pretending.
Yes, I've seen a movie, I think it was called Jason and the Argonauts when I was a fucking kid. And statues and shit came alive.
That
traumatized me, man.
I was traumatized
for 40 years because of that fucking movie. So, statues used to get me, man, big time.
Now you're kind of over it.
Yeah. Fuck, I've been dead. Fuck the statue.
When you were younger, you know, in the film, it kind of talks about you eating this, like, legendary, you need to give us the legendary meal that you used to have at McDonald's.
Non-suggested, but hit us. Yeah.
Four Big Macs, four fries, an apple turnover for dessert, and a strawberry shake. And, you know, they talk about that because I did it for 20 years.
Sounds amazing.
But, I mean, it sounds good, don't it? But, I mean, that was just one meal.
Yeah.
I mean, I ate fucking,
now they'd have to sponsor you. You got so many people following you.
I fucking ate, you know, a bunch of more cheeseburgers outside of that, man. Right.
Do you eat four meals a day or something?
Now?
No, then.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And each one of them will be, you know, comparable to that.
You know, people talk about bodybuilder diets, and obviously that's very important for bodybylding, but powerlifting too. Like, you got to keep your weight up or keep your weight at a certain weight. You got to recover
in order to push your weights,
Yeah, I felt like it was fucking necessary. Yeah. Right. You know, because at the time, my goal was to be the biggest, strongest beast on the planet, so I figured that's how a fucking beast should eat, man. You're not going to out-eat me.
Now you're, like, in the hospital, and you're facing, you know, you're facing death, and you're wishing you can give some of those cheeseburgers back,
man. I was like, I wish I would have known. I mean, my doctors didn't know exactly what caused it, but they listed that as, you know, a possible reason, and, you know, I could kind of see it,
right?
A lot of grease,
right? Yeah. When you were younger, did you just kind of think like you're just living in the moment and you're just doing day to day, right?
Fucking absolutely. I didn't really think or care that I would live a long time,
right?
You know, and when you had me read that thing,
Ultimate Warrior,
it reminded me so much. I mean, you know, my mentality as a kid, I didn't care about tomorrow.
Right.
I had one, you know, well, what if you know, they used to ask me, what if you, well, man, you eating all this stuff, you eating horrible, you can kill over and die. I said, as long as my casket is big as a motherfucker and they got to let that motherfucker out, fuck it.
Right.
I'm ready. As long as they bury a big motherfucker,
I'm
okay.
Well, it's interesting is you did your biggest weights a long time ago.
Yeah.
You benched the most amount of weight, and that's when you were in your prime.
Yeah.
And no one really cared then except for you.
Yeah.
And now everybody cares. So it's a good thing that you did live through it because now you got tons of people following your message now.
Yeah, you know, that's the only good that the records, I mean, because I fucking never made a living at that shit.
Yeah. We talk about it all the time. We love powerlifting. We always will. And we love a lot of the dynamics of it and stuff. But we also recognize that people don't fucking care.
No.
People rather watch us go eat pizza than watch us lift weights.
You know what, though, Mark? You're absolutely right. They don't give a fuck, man. But I think that if people could see a real top, if it was brought to a real top level powerlifting contest and see how crazy and fucking jack the dudes before they get ready to the psych up alone.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to turn the fucking channel, man.
That's kind of our mission here is like, obviously they have people that have awesome stories and awesome personalities like you to have on the podcast, but also people, we just had this kid named Jesse Norris on. Jesse Norris is a 200-pound kid, 22 years old, deadlifts 825 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah.
Ooh.
you know, to share his story.
I think you may have met him. He works for bodybuilding.com.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I think yeah. so.
They're pretty
I
jacked.
Think so. Yeah.
A little
last
bit.
Last time you were
yeah.
up there.
You know, and so we try to, like, he has 8,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh, and that's a fucking
and this
thing,
kid's a beast. And, right. not, and he deserves it. He works yes. his tail off. He trains like nobody I've ever seen.
Yeah. And see, it's our fucking job to get people
yeah,
to take
right.
notice to that guy.
Right. Yeah, you do something similar, right? You just had a video with Big SC Boy and Pitbull.
Oh, you know about that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I saw Instagram pictures from Jake.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Jake's
dude.
A beast.
Jake is strong as yeah. hell, Mark, isn't he? You, unbelievable.
You guys are not going to fucking believe this video.
Cool.
It is the pause rep standard from now on.
Yeah.
Everybody who sees this shit, whoever says they do pause reps, right. is going to have to try to top this shit, and it's going to be hard to top.
Yeah, yeah, Jake's a monster. I think he's benched close to 600. His back's wider than a semi-truck.
Oh,
yeah.
my God. Yeah. That's
huge.
What the fuck?
And he always just has like a happy smile and laugh on too. He's a great
yeah,
guy.
He's, yeah, they both of them are very, very nice guys. And I did some, I my old Think Wave video. I say, you know, sometimes I like to do pause reps and guys, have been
yeah, were you talking through the
yeah.
set and everything?
They've been copying that. And but this kid has just taken that to another fucking level. He said, CT, how are we going? I want to do something different. I said, all right, motherfucker, you really want to do something different, then I'll.
We had a guy in here do a pause squat with like 715, and we like froze it. Like it, he did pause it when he was here and when he lifted and stuff, and I think he did a double with it or something.
Yeah, he paused
like that.
It for, 3 seconds, something yeah. legitimate.
But we made an Instagram clip where he's just frozen at the bottom.
Yeah, it makes it look fancy.
And then
yeah.
we made another Instagram clip, so it couldn't fill in the Instagram time. It was like 30 seconds of him pausing at the bottom.
Wow.
And people were flipping out, and it wasn't real, obviously, but yeah. they were just fucking with people.
Well, I tell you what, this motherfucker is, his pause is real.
How long is he holding it for?
Damn, I don't want to give it away, but
yeah, when's the video
well,
come
we'll
out?
We'll see. Yeah, soon.
It's ready, but we have another one that's also ready, and I'm gonna yeah. drop this other one first,
maybe next week or something.
And then yeah, some of the music is still getting cleared on yeah. this Big Boy video because
right.
he used some old school shit because I like old school music, but the pause is fucking ridiculous.
Old yes. music,
yeah,
old cars, old shit.
Yeah, let's talk about old music. Is that what you train to? What, like Bill
Definitely.
Withers or something? Or Motown?
Oh, boy, you don't know who Bill Withers
Man,
is.
Man, I'm a huge Bill Withers fan. They'll make me sing for you, CT.
What? break the shit out. You got a mic? Shit.
Do you train to that stuff?
Hell yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if during my training, during the other guys, you hear rap all
right.
fucking day.
Yeah.
But when the old man is in there, it's going to be fucking Motown.
I think
man.
We're going to hit a little bench and maybe arms with you later. We'll throw on some Bill Withers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'll be
shit.
Fun.
I need to work my old fucked up biceps in there. You turn Bill Withers on, ain't no telling what I might.
How's your training nowadays?
It's totally opposite than what it used to be.
A lot of reps.
I got this, the latest thing I tried was 500 repetitions of 10 reps of 50 with just 135 on the right. bar. And I thought, 135, this is going to be fucking easy. It was fucking killing me.
Yeah. You get a similar satisfaction out of doing that than what you did before? When you power
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. I do this because I have to.
Yeah, I got you.
It's more healthy for me.
Right.
But in my heart
yeah.
and in my head, I'm still a fucking beast. Right. I still want to be the King Kong on top of the fucking Empire right. State Building swatting fucking planes, man. I still want to do that shit, but I just can't.
Right.
I want to, but it's in my brain. So when I see guys like you, Simon Mike, in there lifting all these big, heavy fucking weights, and I still get, I'd be fucking more excited than you motherfuckers be, man. I love that shit. I went to a powerlifting contest recently with Mike Rashid and Ed Korn. Ed Korn was filming,
yeah.
and I was yelling at Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got so fucking jacked in that
Yeah,
shit.
Mike got fired up.
Yeah, I watched
oh,
that.
My
that
God.
That was a good bench.
That was fast, too.
He had more in.
Yeah, that was
he
awesome.
He had more in.
Well, I think they told him in the back. I was standing there. It's like, this is your first meet.
like, get all three lifts.
Yeah.
Like, build your confidence now and then go for that. I mean, you can bench five. You can always bench 500 at some point, right? Yeah, but, no, like,
that's exactly
you don't need to do it today.
Yeah, that's exactly what the instructions were.
Yeah.
Get all three of them in. It's your first powerlifting contest.
You don't want to go out there and look like an idiot on meet number one.
Fucking don't get none of them.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, I don't know.
It's nothing so sucks heavy. Worse than getting all psyched up and don't do shit. I know, man.
Yeah.
In my last fucking contest, I had the best fucking psych in the goddamn contest, man. I fucking walked. Oh, my God. I came down through there like I was getting ready to lift the whole fucking auditorium, and that shit pinned the fuck out.
Yeah, sometimes the more hype that you see, sometimes the more likely the guy is to miss it.
Yeah.
The guy's kind of searching for something that's just not there.
Well, I think the worst, the deadlift, when the deadlift just doesn't move. You get all psyched up, you're slapping yourself, and then it just literally doesn't move an inch.
That's when you got to hold your hamstring and limp away. Oh, yeah. If I didn't blow out that hammy, that would have been easy.
Oh, no, I was grabbing a titty, all right. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Like, you tear your back, you're like, no.
No, I'm fine.
No, it's my heart that hurts.
Pride.
My decency.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Pride was ripped out of my chest.
Yeah, I think the worst is somebody who's having a decent meet, but they open too big on the deadlift, and they just... They're just dead out there. Just like, it's not going to happen. And every attempt gets worse.
Yep.
And they just want to crawl into a hole and never see anybody ever again.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things about powerlifting, I look at powerlifting like them fucking kamikaze bombers and shit. You got one shot at this shit and there's no return.
Yeah.
You got to fucking get it or you don't. There's no in between. Either you do this shit or you don't do it. Nah, I love fucking powerlifting.
Back to your training. Do you have any kind of schedule or anything? You just kind of train what feels good that day?
Oh, you know, I'm so happy to say that, no, I don't have a fucking schedule. I am not in bodybuilding competition. I'm not in powerlifting competition. So I go into the gym and I have the,
yeah,
I feel like training today.
Cool. It feels kind of good to be that way.
Oh, man, it frees you up, man. You just fucking, I go in there and I feel triceps today.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. What doesn't hurt today?
Yeah, I'll train that.
Right there,
it's wonderful, man. And, you know, the stress of competition, not being there. The only thing I train for now is I know people are watching me. They're watching my videos. And I don't want the people, when they see me in person or they see me in the airport or somewhere, to go, damn, you look fucked up. So, yeah, I try to stay looking pretty good.
Yeah, like, oh, he's old.
Damn, CC look fucked up.
So, like, well, I am old. Cut me some slack.
In 4 years, I'll be 60, man. Come again. I can't wait to challenge you, CT. Oh, man, I'm going to come to your gym, and I'm going to beat you doing this, and I'm going to beat you. Motherfucker, I'm almost 60 years old. When you going to do it, goddamn it? I can't keep waiting for your ass forever.
Yeah, that was in the movie.
I'm getting ready, and I'll be ready in 2 years.
See? Yeah, Stan talks about that, too. He's like, now everyone's trying to call me out. He's like, I'm fucking done. I'm old.
Yeah, in your movie, CT, someone was talking shit, called you out like an arm wrestle or something. I was like, man. I was like, this guy's just trying to motivate people, trying to do something different. He was lifting 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, I'm not a fucking arm wrestler, first of all. I never claimed to be a fucking arm wrestler.
Everyone asks that when you lift weights. Like, oh, I bet you I could beat your arm wrestle. I bet you can. I deadlift. That's what I do.
Thank you. Now, you ain't telling me no curling, motherfucker. You want to arm wrestle me. So, it's a guy, I have been challenged by people... arm wrestling. I mean, I have a whole line of people waiting. And in that line, 4, 5, 20-year-olds want to fucking challenge me to arm wrestling, man. I'm like, when did I say it was a fucking arm wrestler?
Yeah.
What possessed you to think I was a fucking arm wrestler? But the guy in the movie is, he trains at my gym.
Oh, cool.
So that was, you know, he didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
he didn't even want to do it.
Right.
He's a good kid. He's fucking... 375.
Wow. Yeah, big boy.
Strong as fuck. And I told him, he didn't want to even do it. And I said, look, man. He said, Papa, I don't want to do it. I said, look, what we're going to do is we're going to get down here. We're going to go for it. He said, and I said, you know, don't hold back. If you beat me, then we just edit the shit out. No problem, man. We just cut this shit right out, man. So I don't really know if that kid was given everything he had. Yeah. I know he didn't. I tell you, he did not want to. You know, he didn't want to do it.
Right.
So he may have held back a little bit and didn't want to crush the old man in his own movie and shit. So I hope he wasn't. I hope he was giving his all. I know even if he wasn't giving all, he was strong as fuck. I know that much.
A lot of these guys call you pops, like Mike Rashid and some of these other guys. What did that stem from? Are they looking to you as kind of a father figure type thing or what?
Well, I'm an old motherfucker for one thing. So, you know, I'm old enough to be just everybody's dad who I train with. I'm old enough to be their dad, so they all look up to me. And I like it. I like it. You know, I like that they call me pops. It's fine with me, man. Yeah. I don't mind being old at all because, you know, I didn't think I was going to make it. So I'm happy as fuck to be here. Yeah, I'm old. I made it. I'm fucking old, man.
Do you find that these guys kind of sometimes after a training session maybe gather around you a little bit and they're just kind of, they're listening to every word you're saying type of deal, or are they just hanging with you as a friend?
Well, they respect me a lot. And, you know, even when we're not in the gym training or something, Big Rob, for instance, mm-hmm. Big Rob calls me almost every day. You okay, Pop? You okay? You okay? He's checking on me. Samson, you know, calls me every fucking day. You okay, Daddy? You okay? You okay, Pop? And I was with Big Rob once, and I don't know, they messed up my medication, and it fucking, my eyes, I was blind. I fucking went blind, man. Wow. They gave me some, and I was scared as fuck. I was like, oh my God, I can't see, Rob, I can't see.
Simon Mike went blind one time, but it was from something else.
I can imagine.
Hang on this gym for a while.
You're going to have to tell us what that was, right? And fucking, but Rob, they, you know, they were with me when I didn't have shit, and they checked on me and said, we're friends for real, you know, in real life. And
That's cool.
It's like my kid, it's like my son, so, you know, they call me every fucking day to make sure I ain't dead, and I appreciate
you know how guys are, you know, you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? They say, I'm okay.
Yep.
But a real friend will say, no, how you doing? Like, look you in the eye and say, no, like, I want to know, how are you doing, motherfucker?
Exactly, yeah.
Don't give me that I'm doing okay bullshit. Tell me what's up.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's how they are.
Yeah,
that's kind of what Mike described to us, is that you, I think, Mike, Big Rob were just trainers at Long Beach, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago.
Yep.
So you guys just hanging out every day on the grind.
Yeah, we were, you know, doing all that crazy shit for nothing. No cameras and shit around. Just, you know, trying to push each other.
You worked for the Postal Service for a long time, right?
Yeah, I worked for the motherfuckers.
20, 30 years, some shit like that?
Yeah, about almost 30 years.
Wow.
And when I had to be off of my heart, I ran out of sick leave and every other kind of leave you can have. And they said, you know what, fuck you. I didn't get no retirement or anything like that. So,
Jesus.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's just wrong.
It sucked.
that's wrong.
What do you have to reach to get retirement? 30 years exactly or something like that?
I had enough for medical retirement. I had enough time in for medical retirement, but they put the date, they backdated my, you know, when I went out on leave. So you only have a year to file for medical retirement, and they backdated the leave, and it was by the time they sent it to me, the year limit was already up. So
some lawyer's going to call you up from this podcast.
Yeah. I hope so. Get me my back pay.
Yeah, let's get this shit straight.
Yeah, shit.
I want to buy a house. I need my back pay.
That sucks. Yeah. But anyway, you moved on from that, and in the movie kind of talks about you know wanting to train people because you had the expertise, you had some huge bench presses to back up some of your theories and stuff. You were in the gym all the time, and you learned a lot of stuff over the years. And then you tried to get a job, and they said,
get the fuck on. So what?
Yeah, they wanted you to have certifications.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, named all these fucking different alphabet soup organizations and shit that I had to be certified by, and I never heard of none of them motherfuckers, and they never heard of my ass. It was like,
right?
You know, most of the kids who were telling me to get on, you know, were 20 years old, and they never heard of my fucking ass. Right. Could care less. That's nice, but are you certified by, you know,
right,
whatever the fuck the certification was? And I'm like, no, motherfucker, I'm not.
How'd you stumble upon Metroflex?
It was definitely a stumble. I was on my way to LA Fitness, which LA Fitness did give me a fucking job. I went in there and I seen Big Rob, and that's where I first met Big Rob.
At LA Fitness?
Yes.
That's great.
And
now, let's tell a Big Rob story first. Big Rob is part of the saying that you have, right? That's kind of where it first came from. The it's still your motherfucking
yes.
set.
That's part
was,
of it. That's
what was going What was going on then?
Big that Rob point. And I were training legs, and I was fucking. He was getting ready for a contest, and I was trying to kill his fucking ass. And he said, "T, I gotta throw up." I said, "Okay, we'll just remember when you throw up, you're going over there and throw up. We bring your ass back over here. It's still your motherfucking set. So you throw up, that's fine. Fall out, whatever the fuck you got
to
do.
You're still training to do. Don't care if you shit yourself or puke.
Yeah, still fucking got some sets to do, motherfuckers. So that's where, yeah, me and Big Rob were working out. And he's like, God damn. Well, but we had fun back then. And no YouTube cameras. I didn't know what the fuck YouTube was right. back then.
So you were talking about going to LA Fitness, and then you stumbled upon Metroflex.
Yeah, because Metroflex, right, I mean, two, three blocks from LA Fitness. And I was walking because I didn't have a fucking car and couldn't afford the fucking gas to put in the fucking car. So I'm walking to LA Fitness, and I see his fucking warehouse, and it looked like it was people lifting weights up in there. And I go, what the fuck?
Yeah, what
I didn't
this?
Even know this was here. So I stumbled up in there, and there was a whole bunch of old hardcore motherfuckers and dust on the floor. And I'm like, fuck, I'm at home.
Yeah.
Fuck LA Fitness. This pretty shit. Fuck this shit.
Kind of like that Rocky III scene when Rocky walks into that place with Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
And everyone's got the look in their eye, right? And sweating. Yeah. Gym smells.
Yep.
You're like, you're like, this is a perfect spot.
This is my home. There's nothing like this kind of shit, man. I'm like, man, look at LA Fitness all shiny and shit. Right. Everything all matched up. I'm like, no, fuck this. So I loved it there. That was my home for where they accepted me. And some of the guys, they even remembered, you know, way back when I was lifting, so it helped.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you started training people. You just start, you know, using a lot of the methods that you've always used. You're just whooping up on people, and they started loving it, or how'd it go?
Totally the opposite. I can keep a fucking client, man.
People are falling off.
Yeah, big time. You know, like they say, I'm part drill sergeant and preacher and song bitch all mixed up into one. And, but it's crazy because they would come in and I would be so fucking hard on them. To me, it wasn't being hard.
Wasn't
on
that bad.
It's just the way I train. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You want results.
Yeah. And I said, look, if you want to, you know, be a pussy and,
right.
and fucking, then you should, LA Fitness is right down the fucking mm-hmm. street, and they'll go over there and pat you on the fucking back and tell you, you know, you're doing a good job and praise you and fucking give you hand claps and shit and stars on your fucking bulletin board. That ain't going to happen here, buddy. If you want to get right, I'll give me half the time you're going to get it, motherfuckers, and half the money, and I'll fucking get your ass right. But you got to be able to take it. And if you can't take it, keep your fucking money and get the fuck on.
Were you just dealing with, like, soccer moms, or were you dealing with powerlifters, bodybuilders, just or whatever you could get?
Soccer moms might look over at my class and say, fuck that. I ain't training with that crazy motherfucker. But, I just wanted people that thought like me to train with me. If you don't think like me, then you probably ain't gonna like, you know, training with my ass, man. So if you hardcore, if you one of them sick motherfuckers, if you're an iron addict, then, you know, you probably want to train with me. But otherwise, you ain't gonna like this shit.
Yeah, you put me and Mark through a tricep workout. Oh, yeah. I was sore for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't that waste hurt. My time, and I won't waste yours.
Yeah, that shit hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's just different because you guys fucking strong. You know, you lift a whole bunch of weight, but this shit is just different.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's hard.
Where'd you learn some of this stuff? Just kind of over the years being in the gym or just annihilate yourself?
A lot of it I learned from my trainer. My first trainer was named Big Jim Britt. And the part of just ridiculous amount of reps, because Jim Britt would come into the gym, well, into the garage, because that's where we trained at. And we put warm up. We put 315 on the bench. And he'd say, I'm not leaving until you give up. I said, motherfucker, you're going to be here all night then, if that's the case. And we would literally bench press 315 from sun up to sundown, just going back and forth because nobody wanted to give up. So that endurance type mentality came
from. How were you able to build up clients, or you just you never even did? You just got on YouTube?
Pretty much. I did build up, but no, spectacular numbers. I probably had, at my highest point, 20 clients.
Right.
And
that's quite a bit.
Yeah, some of the guys, had a lot more.
Right.
But
yeah.
I had about 20 people that were hardcore. But YouTube is really, you know, what got it.
You have a particular message on YouTube, and it seems to resonate. Why do you think it works so well? Why do you think it gets in people's head the way it does?
People are talking about what I do like it's something new.
Yeah.
And it is definitely
new. It's just the audience is new, the message is
new. Yeah, the people, you know, they've seen this 5 minute, 10 minute and this, and then you can get your abs in 3 minutes, and then they're cutting the time down shorter and shorter. Next thing is 2 second abs is gonna be next. And I came over and I told people that's bullshit.
That was the first video that you made, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit, man. If they told you that, I think it's just that people can tell when a person is real. Mm-hmm. And if you got something behind, you know, what you're saying, you know, mm-hmm. or this guy, if you ain't never been through shit, then you can't tell me how to go through shit.
Right.
You know, they want to hear, and like Mark was saying, that the titles and stuff that I got 25 years ago helped. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, this guy's talking all this shit, but what have you ever done? I'm a 6-time world champion, motherfucker. That's what I did. Well, maybe he ain't all bullshit. Maybe he do got something to say. You know, the title's the only good that those titles did.
Right.
That happened all those years before. They lended validity to what I was saying. Or maybe you do have something. Maybe you do know what the fuck you're talking about. And then they get the fucks got to get people's attention.
Right.
I just grabbed their attention.
Right.
But I, you know, now I'm trying to let people know that I can say more than fuck. I enjoy saying fuck. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying fuck. And a lot of people say fuck behind closed doors. I just do it out in the open.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a little different being in gym talk or being in the gym when you love what you're doing. You get a little fired up, drink some coffee, adrenaline's pumping because you just did a set. I think we all act a little different. You get a little more excited rather than right now in the podcast, we're all chilling.
Yeah, people say, they tell me all the time, they meet me in person. Oh, man, you're so different. You know, I was afraid to meet you because they seen the video and they thought I was just going to start cussing them out.
Yeah.
You know, you motherfucking. But, I tell people that it was like when I got started, it was like yelling fire in a crowded building. When you yell fucking fire, it's a law against that shit.
Yeah, right.
Because people, it gets their attention.
Right, yeah.
And they fucking whip around. Hey, what the fuck's going on? So I bust, you know, hey, fuck this and fuck that. And I grab the people's attention. And then I can give them the real message, you know, behind it. I got to get your attention first. And then I can tell you
that's like classic any form of communication. You have to get people's attention first. They have to be listening to you before you can talk to them.
Exactly. Talk a little bit like a wrestler. You ever watch wrestling? Or?
Oh, my God. See, you know, you already know the fucking answer. Yeah. They asked me that. So you know I love fucking wrestling, yeah, man.
Yeah, I think I Mark's kind of learned his speaking that way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I went to some weird art school, so I learned talking that way. But I did watch a lot of wrestling, and they're just like they all have the gift of gab. That's why you make it, you know?
The best ones, yes.
Yeah.
And the beginning of your movie starts out with the greatest of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, man.
Nobody's better than the Rattlesnake.
The GOAT. Now, he said the greatest of all time. He's definitely in my top five.
All right, let's
five. He might be the best on the mic, man. He was just fucking awesome. The Rock is really good, obviously, too.
The Rock is very good on the mic. Stone Cold is super good on the mic.
Yeah.
And fucking, there was a guy, the Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. American Dusty, Dream.
Oh, my God.
Bionic Elbow.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes was fucking, he was mic, man. And what's the guy? Ric Flair.
Yeah.
He was also very good on the mic.
Macho Man.
Yep, Macho Man Randy Savage.
He'd start out his promos like facing backwards, and he'd spin around.
Yeah.
He'd spin around.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good speech going on there, man. And I'm, you know, I go way back further because I'm a lot older. So The Rock's dad, Rocky Soulman Johnson, was one of my all-time favorite guys.
He had a lot of energy in the ring.
Oh, my God. That big motherfucker could drop kick you on your fucking forehead.
Yeah, man. He was athletic.
From a standing, just standing there right in front of your ass. Next thing you know, you got 2 feet right in your fucking forehead, man.
Were you athletic growing up?
I think so.
Played some different sports and stuff?
Yeah, I was a track runner in school. I played football in the Army and, tried boxing.
How old you say you are?
I'm 56.
You're 56?
Yes.
Was racism a big thing when you were, like, in high school and stuff like that? I mean, I know it's a big thing all the time, but I'm just saying, was it worse? Real bad, kind of where you lived and where you grew up?
Yeah, no, okay, growing up in Compton, it wasn't an issue because
not a lot of white people running around.
Everybody was black. So, right. But we moved in my senior year of high school. We moved to Lakewood, and Lakewood is a smaller city, but it was 90% white at that time.
Right.
So I wasn't used to
that must have been crazy.
Walking down the street and somebody yelling at the car, "Go back home, nigger." I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Is this America?
Yeah, and how old are you at that point?
18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that your first time?
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, what was the first time you ever felt like, man, that's clear wrong, like just racism's going on towards me?
Well, you know, when I was really, really young, I'm from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I would see colored only water fountains and colored entrance, and we still had to, you know, ride on the back of the buses when I was very small. I still remember coming to California in the back of the bus. And so, like I said, I say a whole lot of fucked up shit in my videos. I say all kind of bad words, but you won't hear me say nigger.
Yeah.
Because it means, it's a totally different meaning for somebody who actually was living.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You mentioned that in the movie, and I thought that was really powerful because I've heard other rappers and stuff say that in the past. Like, hey, you know what? We need to stop, calling each other this and using it in a derogatory way because we're just fueling the fire, and everyone else is going to say it too.
They're going to keep
saying it.
Yeah, they
even like the word bitch. You know, same thing with women and stuff. You know,
exactly. And I hear I say bitch quite a bit,
you're mainly talking about Silent Mike.
when I say bitch, I'm mainly talking, 99.9% of the time, I'm talking to a dude.
Yeah.
Because, it's a whole lot of dudes.
Basically kind of saying don't be a wimp.
Exactly. That's my way of saying don't be a wimp. But I respect women a whole lot. Too much to, call them bitches.
Yeah,
I will call a dude a bitch in a minute.
One of the best parts of the movie, there's two parts that stick out in my head. But one is you buying a bus.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I'm sure it was hard growing up. I can't relate, at all to racism or being segregated against. But for you to try to turn around in a positive, semi-joking way, I think is absolutely awesome and shows a lot about your character.
Yeah, that only thing, I fucking want a lot of money for that bus. I'm like, fuck, $50,000? Fuck that bus.
Yeah, Yeah, I thought it was like most impressive thing to me throughout the whole film. I mean, number one is the way that you're able to speak on camera is fucking incredible. And I would like to see, you know, you get some acting gigs and stuff, and even some voiceover work or something, because your voice is powerful, your words are powerful, and you're just super comfortable on camera. So me and Mike kind of recognize that. We were like, this guy's just on another level, man. This is some cool stuff.
He'd be the next Disney star.
And what's such a trip about that is when I was younger, that's what I kept saying I was longing for. I wanted, oh man, I wanted somebody to get me on TV, somebody to get me on. And but I had a couple opportunities. I went down to, I won the part in the fucking movie. And then I got so fucking nervous before it was time. But when they fucking had me to say my line, it came out like fucking, I don't know, a Martian tongue. I
acting's hard.
Oh my God, I twisted it all up. I couldn't even understand what I was saying. And CT, okay, cue.
You could have been the office linebacker. Now look what happened. Son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. I got so nervous, man. I just wasn't ready.
You just need to find a part that's more you.
Yeah.
And less lines.
Yeah, I just was not ready, man. I was so intimidated. And so when they turned their camera on, I was like, oh, fuck.
Was that before you almost died several times?
It was definitely way before.
And now you're probably more confident.
Yeah, I'm telling you, something about that dying shit that makes everything else a little easier.
Yeah, well, then just practice. Yeah, I mean, there's always cameras around now.
Yeah.
You're probably so used to it.
Yeah.
But you said, so that was kind of always a dream to be known or be popular?
Oh, man, I wanted to be a fucking action hero big time. You know, give me a fucking role, man. I can do that shit. But I just couldn't talk.
So back then you were talking about wanting to be really big and really strong. And I know a lot of people who have been through experiences with, you know, abusive parents and whatever. That's kind of a natural reaction. You just don't want to, you want to be in a position that nobody wants to fuck
exactly.
with you.
Exactly.
But you're not that big guy anymore, but nobody wants to fuck with you. So other than the experience of having died, like where is that confidence coming from now? Is it just experience?
I think what it is now, hopefully what it is respect. You know, I think the younger guys, for the most part, there's definitely some assholes and some exceptions.
Exactly.
But for the most part, people expect, you know, I mean, respect what I've gone through, what I've been through. And they disrespect the old guys.
But you don't feel that vulnerability anymore like
you
did when you
were a kid.
No,
definitely not. Definitely not. No. It's such a relief, man. When you live your life. And I lived, you know, all my childhood in fear, man, real fear.
Right.
It is so fucked up. But it is such a relief to be not afraid no more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That was the biggest burden lifted off my shoulders. I remember the day when I told my dad, you know, look, hey, man, I ain't fucking scared of you no more. Fuck you. Whatever you want to do. I mean, he called me into a room at the office at his church. And I had got out of the army. Shit, I was a grown dude by then. I had a couple of kids, and he called me in. And his intimidating thing was to call you in this small room, and he fucking started locking the latches and shit on the door behind you. You know, when he'd stand in front of the door, and he'd lock all these latches and shit. And then he proceeded to, you know, when you see them fucking latches locking, you know, it's some shit been happening.
Right.
I'm like, man, I don't give a fuck about you latching that door up. Fuck it. I mean, one of us going to break out this motherfucker, and I ain't planning on being me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I felt so good to be able to tell him, your tormentor, the dude who made your life miserable for years, you can look him in the eyeballs and say, fuck you. Oh, my God. That was such an uplifting moment.
How old were you at that point?
I was probably 22.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And did you guys get into an altercation at that point, or did he just not put his hands on you?
He's still here.
Right. So,
I think he rethought it. He said, right. Oh, the tables have turned.
Right. I think he mentioned at one point even buying a gun.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. When, this was, you know, before I went into the service, and I was, it was right after he broke my nose. I was 16. I said, you know, this last ass whooping I'm taking. Mm-hmm. Fuck this. You know, I don't think I can whoop him. But right. Since I can't whoop him, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
You know, but he ain't fucking punching me no more. This is it.
Right. How'd you go around, like, everyday life? Like, were you, like, real shy and timid because of what was going on at home? Or did it make you, like, more outgoing because you wanted to have, like, more fun sort of thing? Or because I know people can kind of go a bunch of different ways with it.
You know, we didn't I didn't have much fun. But I felt like that, you know, okay, I got one motherfucker that's kicking my ass on a regular basis, but once I get out this door, ain't none of you other motherfuckers going to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, pops, you got me.
Right.
Kick my ass, but I'm not going to let
you. Did you get caught up with the wrong crowd, or you ever get into drugs or selling drugs or anything like that, you know,
never because of some of that? Never sold drugs. But very, very close people to me did.
Right.
I don't want to say their name they were super close, and they were heavy into us. Now, what I would do, I touched on a little bit in the movie, was make collections for those drug deals. And it was, you know, I wish I could erase that part of my life. I wish I could go back and undo that shit.
Right.
Do you feel that was just the only way? I mean, considering the environment you grew up in, is probably around you a lot more than some people deal with. You know, that's kind of what that area is known for sometimes, is gangs, violence, and drugs. Do you just feel like, all right, well, now I'm, whatever, 16, 17, 18, it's time to make money. This is how I'm going to make money?
Well, I felt like that I was so... I couldn't do shit as a kid. Everything was a sin. Everything we fucking thought about doing was a sin. I mean,
was there a lot of verbal abuse as well as physical?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned in the movie that, you know, like, my dad used to whoop my ass if he thought I was flirting with a girl or hitting on a girl.
Right.
And I thought that was fucking crazy.
Yeah. Was his reasoning?
What am I supposed to do?
It was
I'm 14. What am I supposed
to do? I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And what was so hypocritical about it, like I said, I just found out a year and a half ago that I had another sister. This dude's fucking the babysitter.
Right.
And then he wants to beat my ass for, you know, passing a little girl a note or something, right, or trying to tell. I don't fucking understand this. And what really kills me,
Hello.
We got a problem. Stand by. We got busted.
Well,
stand by. Check. Okay, we're good.
All right. There we go.
Well, I think with parents out there, if you fucked up, be man or woman enough to admit to your kid, I fucked up. It would do a whole lot in the way of repairing relationship. I fucked up. I shouldn't have done this shit. And I apologize.
Yeah. Do you think he was just hiding behind religion as the excuse to treat you that way? Like, hey, you shouldn't flirt with girls. It's bad for the Bible or whatever.
It is exactly. Yeah. He was hiding. I mean, that's the only thing I can see. I mean, because it coming from being a bigger fucking, you know, joke. I mean, this dude was hitting on women in the church.
Yeah.
You know, that church that I grew up in, he was hitting on them. And
was he abused also, maybe? Or?
I only hear parts of his childhood. Right. And from when the part that he would always tell me was that how he was raising me was nothing compared to how he was raised. So he was saying that, but I mean, he left home at 16, so it was, you know, he joined the Army at 16.
Right. Yeah, times might have been a little different.
Yeah, he said
kind of mentioned you just thought he was crazy.
Yeah, I thought he was fucking, he never bothered to take the time to explain.
It wasn't like he was drinking or anything.
No, just a crazy motherfucker.
What do you think some kids out there, you know, could do to, you know, try to better their situation? Have you ever thought about, you know, going in and talking to kids about child abuse and all the different things you went through, just so they maybe, you know, it still might be hard for them to open up to somebody, but maybe they can not feel so alone and vulnerable?
definitely. It's a mission of mine, and I do it every chance I get. I mean, I get letters from kids all the time.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I try, it's my mission to try to help them out as much, because I know they feel fucking helpless.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're 13?
The person that's supposed to be loving you and taking care of you is kicking your ass. What are you supposed to do?
It's a huge betrayal. Really.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And it affects your ability to trust anybody.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Boy, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. I don't trust any fucking
guy. I mean, I did not have that with my family at all. But it seems like I've known a lot of people in that position, especially a lot of girls in their like 20s now. Yep. Had that kind of relationship even with their moms.
Yeah.
Where mom just can't, like, they can't give them anything. They can't ever be right.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't understand. And it's so damaging. And the only way to fix it is for that kid to grow up and say, that's not going to be my life. Yep. I'm not going to have that relationship with my kids.
Exactly.
Because it will just carry forward.
It will.
If there's no thought. Involved. If you don't go out of your way to keep it from happening, it just keeps happening.
That's right. Stop that fucking train, man. Yeah. Stop it. Just because they did it don't mean it. You should do it, too.
Right.
Yeah. I found in the movie that it was really amazing to me that, knowing your background, you and I have talked about it before, and then also seeing it again through the film and learning more details about, the abuse and stuff like that and some other things, a couple near-death experiences and stuff. Was just how you just seem like super happy, and you seem like fun, you seem kind, and I'm just like, man, this guy is like a really, really cool example of the way that shit should be. You're like at your birthday party, you're blowing out a candle, and you're making all these jokes, and like some people are laughing at some of the shit you're saying, but you don't care. You're laughing at your own shit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You're laughing at your own material. And I just think that's fucking cool. I think it's really cool just because I think. We lose sight. We lose sight of the things that are important. And you're like, I'm still alive. I'm hanging out with my family. Like, what's more fun than this?
Oh man, exactly, Mark. I mean, the biggest thing. I think about. I always ask myself as a kid, why did I have to go through all this shit? Why does my dad fucking hate me? What did I do to make this guy who's supposed to love me hate my fucking ass so I could look at him and see disgust? When he looked at me, he looked like he was fucking disgusted with me. I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't walk right. I couldn't talk right. Everything was fucking wrong. What did I do? And I know it's kids out there asking themselves the same thing. What did I do to deserve this kind of fucking hate from my own parents? What did I do? Why? When I had the open heart surgery, why did I have to suffer like this? Why couldn't my surgery? Because I seen guys who went through open heart surgery next week, they up baking cookies and shit. And I'm like, why the fuck did I have to be, to go through all this shit and be so fucked? Why me? And then I get the letters from all over the world, people talking about, I heard your story. I heard how you went through this, and I think I can go through this. My son heard how you went through this, and now he thinks he can go through it. Because of you, you have changed my life. So now, man, all that stuff I went through was absolutely nothing, absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was the worst thing in the world when I was going through it.
Right.
But it's helping so many people. I'm glad I went through it. I am actually glad I had to go through it because now I can help somebody else.
It's something that comes with getting older is realizing that your journey is your journey.
Yeah.
And things are hard and things are never ideal, but often they're really horrible, but they still shape your character for better and for worse too.
That's right.
Some things just make you feel worse about yourself for a period of time. And, there's nothing you can do to help that. But the effect that it has on your personality can ultimately be positive, I guess.
Everything that happened made me the old grumpy motherfucker I am today.
So you opened your gym.
Yes.
You got a movie.
Yes.
You're popular. You got the biggest line at every fitness expo we ever go to.
You have your own supplements now.
You got your own supplements.
With Isotori, right?
That's right. Got my own steps, man.
What a pre-workout that we've tried.
Ugly
a couple
ass
other
face on the bottle.
A couple other products. Really cool.
Yeah, what's next for CT? I mean, you said when you were a kid, those are kind of things you wanted, right? You wanted to be popular. You want to be in movies. You got your own movie. That's better than being in a movie, if you ask me. You got your own movie. You got your own supplement line. You grew up a meathead. Only living about iron addicts. Now you got your own supplement line. What's next? What's the goal next? What's next in the next couple of years?
That is, I mean, I still, when you say it, you know, I'm like, fuck, damn, that's right. I got all this shit going. I have to pinch myself something. But I, you know, the gym, I opened Iron Addicts Gym, and we have another one in Las Vegas,
yeah.
Another one opening up in Arizona, and another one in Florida.
Oh.
And my goal is to have them motherfuckers all over the place, man. I want them all over the world, man. I didn't even set out with the intention. I just wanted my own. Well, people are like, hey, I want, you know, I would like one over here. I like one over there.
Yeah, you'll get a lot more requests after this podcast,
so,
too.
I'm like, hey, that's fucking fantastic, man. I would like to see them everywhere. When I go to Austria and Russia, man, an Iron Addicts Gym in Russia.
That'd
man,
be cool.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool as fuck, man. I want them all over the place. And the next thing up, I'm doing a book. I always thought the book should precede the movie, but fuck it. They want to do a book with my old ass. And, you know, I see the most important thing to me is to reach as many people as possible. And whatever medium I have to do it on, that's what I want to do. And if I can, you know, just spread hope and shit to as many people as possible, then I don't care how, you know, fucking a blimp with a fucking sign in back of it.
Well, I hope you do an audio version of your book and read it yourself. I think that would be really valuable to a lot of people.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
And we'll take $1 per sale because of that idea.
That's a suggestion. I can't read.
Right. How many days did you end up spending in the hospital when you had your surgeries?
Oh, man. Mike, it's... Fuck. I probably spent altogether a year in and out of, you know, but mostly in. And I fucking hate hospitals. I don't even like driving by a fucking hospital, man. And people are like, well, you got to get your checkup, CT. You got to make sure that, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but it's the truth. It's the truth of the truth. I would rather just fucking drop dead.
Yeah, my grandfather said a hospital is where you go to die.
Yeah, man, it's fucking, I want my death to be a surprise. Oh, fuck, I'm dead.
Yeah, whoops. Wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
My dad over there, my pops over there, he spent how many days in hospital, Dad? 70, 80? 75
days
of intensive
care.
75
days
in a
intensive
row.
Intensive care sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks, man. They don't want you to do nothing in intensive care.
He lost a lot. It was crazy. He had a couple near-death experiences, and we're lucky to still have him around, too.
It makes you tough, though. It makes you tough. You don't fear too much stuff after that, man. That's it.
There you go.
Am I lying? I got backup for Mark Bell's dad.
There you go.
Once you've been dead, man, everything else is a piece of cake.
That's good advice, man. Anybody out there who wants to not be afraid anymore?
Just die a couple of
just
times.
Just die real quick, and everything should be good after that.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
All right, man, I think that's it. You guys got any more questions?
That's really, really great.
Where can people find you? Hopefully they already know, but you got the YouTube channel. You got a website or something?
Yeah, ISYMFS.com and Iron Addicts with an S. At gmail.com is my daughter. And if you want to open up my Iron Addicts Gym, just send her a message.
Really cool. And then you just Google CT Fletcher and everything will pop up, I'm sure.
Oh, wait. Before we go, we have to have a poop story. Do you have a poop story?
A poop or fart story while you're lifting? Something had to happen.
Yeah, some sort of blowout somewhere.
Hey, bench what, 650? That's a lot of abdominal pressure.
Yeah.
No, it was probably doing sit-ups.
Kids at home, don't do sit-ups.
Yeah, not after you eat 4 Big Macs. don't do sit-ups after you eat Big Macs like that. And, you'll be okay.
You just have to throw those underwear away. Or
definitely. Yeah. Throw them motherfuckers away. You don't want to put your wife or your girlfriend.
Yeah, you don't want to terrify them like that.
No,
yeah.
No. Jeez. I had to kick them, you know, I had to kick them under the seat.
All right, I think that's it. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered. I'm at Mark Smellybell on Instagram and Twitter. Later.
At Solomichael 2Ks, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jim McDee, STTV on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/SupertrainingJim, Twitter, and Periscope at STJimSack.
Maybe for the live thing, want to take a couple questions while we're still here?
Yeah, we can do that.
Pop up a couple if we can see him. Anybody got some questions for Mr. CT Fletcher over here? Or no one cares because he's too old?
Finally, a poop story.
Probably.
I don't have any questions for
finally
him.
Finally, a poop
there's
story.
There's a little bit of a lag, so it's going to take a couple questions, anybody?
Oh, that's not a bad question. What is CT?
Cutthroat. Cutthroat.
He said you changed that.
It's actually a nickname that my third grade teacher gave me. That's
really? It just stuck?
Really? Yep. No special story behind it.
That's great.
It's you said you legally changed it.
Yes,
right?
I did legally change it to CT Ali Fletcher.
There you go.
CT motherfucking Fletcher.
Yeah, I should have put a motherfucker in there.
What's the most you've ever curled?
The most I ever curled was 315.
Damn. What?
Yeah, but holy, it's strict curl and just curling is two different things.
Yeah, the competition. Yeah. Though. What's your best curl in competition?
225.
Yeah, somebody
that's
got that.
Head back and butt up against the wall. That's Russian guy just broke that.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite strength athlete?
Who is my favorite strength athlete? Yeah. Mark Smellybell. What the fuck am I going to say? I'm on this podcast, man.
I'm under a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
What advice would you give somebody who wants to open their own gym?
Work your ass off. And be prepared to spend a lot of fucking money on equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't expect to get rich anytime soon.
Oh, that's for goddamn sure.
Yeah.
Be prepared to pay the rent without any help for quite a while, man.
That's so small.
I got a question for you while we're waiting for a few other ones to jump in here. How did you used to train your arms? You know, I know now, you know, you have a certain style, but do you think your arms, you know, got to be so big basically from the heavy powerlifting, or do you just train them all the time?
No, I treat them. Yes, I did train them all the time, but I treated my arms like a powerlifter. I trained them as close to powerlifting style as I, in straight bar, Olympic bar was my favorite.
So heavy.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I would do multiple sets with 225 on straight bar all the time, man. Just, heavy.
Right.
Curling my ass off. That was my staple, was a straight bar.
Right. Yeah. Did you use a lot of different exercises? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had one, you know, I would alternate from one heavy day powerlifting style, then do bodybuilding stuff the next exercise, back and forth.
Did building up your arms help you with other exercises, you think?
I think so. I think strong triceps are essential for a big bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you ain't going to find a giant bench press with fucking tulip, you know, triceps, man.
All right, I get it. I get
it. Actually, I saw one back here that was not a stupid one. what do you think is your greatest accomplishment so far?
Wow, I guess having my kids.
Yeah,
without question.
That's what a parent sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you squat and deadlift?
Yeah, I still squat. I was looking for. I asked Mark for that belt. Because I'm going to do those little sissy squats.
We have a whole machine dedicated to that.
You do? Yeah, we love them fuckers, man. Because regular back squats are kind of rough on me now, so I have to go really light. Really light and back squats.
Yeah, we have a belt squat machine,
but that
basically.
Belt squat machine, I want one of them fuckers, man. I'm going to buy one of them off of you. I love that
shit, thing's awesome.
Man, you got to show that to me. But I fucking love that. I will do that.
And you still do some deadlifting?
Do some deadlifting. I probably won't go over 405.
Just move around some weight, get some reps, and just kind of see how you feel.
Get some reps with it.
Conventional.
Definitely, yeah.
And now that you don't compete anymore, like if you start to load up the bar for a deadlift, do you just stop if it's not doesn't feel right for the day? You know, sometimes you just feel like crap.
Yeah, sometimes if I feel like crap these days, I just won't even do the shit.
Yeah,
just
won't even go. Yeah, yeah. Might not even go to the gym.
I'm fucking CT Fletcher, and I don't have to.
I'm 52, and I feel you on that. Some days it's just not happening.
That's right.
It's just not happening. Who was your inspiration as a young lifter? That's a pretty good question.
As a lifter, I guess they would say in weightlifting, who was my inspiration? I guess Larry Scott, because I really thought his biceps was just
Larry
best.
Scott was yoked.
Sergio Oliva. All the motherfuckers with big ass arms. Bertel Fox. I mean, the big ass arm motherfuckers was my inspiration.
Yeah, Sergio Oliva. As far as
you know, weightlifting is concerned. But I guess the most influential guy was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And not because of.
You ever get a chance to meet him?
Never. That's still a dream of mine. Yeah. You know, it's not because of what he did inside the ring. I think he's one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time. But what he did outside the ring is, you know, much more the reason why.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a fan of boxing by any means. I don't know anything about it. But Muhammad Ali is probably my favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah.
You did some You did some kickboxing or something like that, didn't you?
I did do some kickboxing and shit back in the day. Tournaments and shit. I was teasing the guy Tybo.
Billy Blanks.
He came to the, I like that guy. He came to the grand opening. And the last tournament I was in, Billy Blanks was the middleweight champion of the world. Mm. And all I had to do was whoop three guys.
So he's the real deal. He's not just selling tapes.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. People need to see some tapes of him when he was fighting. That motherfucker was tough. And he was so tough. You know, I had three fights. Yeah, it was tournament shit, and you have three fights, and then you get to fight the, you know, the champion.
Right.
And I made it through two and lost my – forgot all about my goddamn technique and everything. This guy from Korea kicked the shit out of me. And my brother was in the audience, and I didn't want to look bad in front of my brother, and I just fucking went Compton on him and just started doing a whole bunch of shit that wasn't, you know, in the rule book. So I got disqualified. And that was a fight before I would have got a chance, the opportunity to fight Billy. And when I seen what Billy did to that guy in the finals, I was like, God damn, I'm glad I didn't get to fight that. Ooh, that
did you see Straight Outta Compton by any chance?
I have not seen it yet, man.
It was good.
I do want to see it. I do want to see it.
What's your best total from your powerlifting days?
Oh, you know, I never competed in all three, but I can tell you my best lift in a contest, a bench press, was 650. I missed 705 a couple of times trying to set the all-time record. And people tell me, you know, after they did the 650, they showed the 650 in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty easy. And it was like, man, if you'd have went 675 or 680, you would have got it. And I'm like, that ain't the fucking record.
Yeah, right.
So why should I do that shit? I came here to set the fucking record. I had to do 6.
Ted Arcidi.
Yeah. I wanted to fucking set the record, man. So why, you know, mess around with stuff in between? That's what I was thinking. So
you squatted and deadlifted in the gym, yeah? What were some of those numbers?
My best squat was 750. And it was in a T-shirt and shorts, no type of, you know, I don't think they had fucking lifting suits back then.
Maybe just a belt or something?
Yeah, I did have a belt.
Some chalk.
But sometime, I was so, I thought I was so fucking bad, I didn't even need a fucking belt. I would take my belt off and kick the motherfucker to show how tough I was. I don't need a fucking belt. And I deadlifted 700 one time, and I thought I was going to shit all over myself.
Oh, then my he gave God. Up deadlifts for the rest
so
of the
when,
life.
So when, yes, you know, when I see, you know, people, when they tell me guys deadlifting 900, 1,000, this guy. In
wild, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, how the fuck? Can you pick up that much goddamn weight from the floor?
Yeah. Nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They got a young lady in Vegas who's deadlifting 600.
Oh, yeah.
A lady. And I'm like, oh, my God, girl. I know why. I told her I don't want shit to do.
There's Brittany Pryor.
She pulled six?
Right around 600 pounds.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah.
Yeah, she's strong. But she squats 500, I think.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Benches yeah. mid-2s.
I guess she was a really legit track athlete at one point.
A shot putter, maybe?
Dang. I think so, yeah.
She's strong as fuck.
Huh? Yeah. That's unbelievable. 600-pound deadlift.
It is.
Further back, there was a question about your family, your kids. Do you want them to follow you into what you're doing, or how do they think about what you're doing now?
I got one son, Samson, my youngest son, who's in the gym every day, and I have an older son that's in and out the gym. But my youngest son is the one that I think that really is going to come along and, you know, demolish everything I did. He's much larger than I was at his age. People don't realize that, but I think he's going to be a fucking monster. Mm-hmm. But I don't prompt any of them to do what I do. I don't care what they what you do, man.
Just be happy.
Yeah, just be happy. If you don't want to be a weightlifter, because my dad always. He said, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. He told me that from a little kid. You're going to be a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. And I was thinking in my head, fuck no, I ain't. Oh, but I told him, oh, yeah, because I didn't want to get my ass kicked. Yeah. But I'm like, the last thing I'm going to do is be a preacher.
Well, there's more than one way to be a preacher.
Yeah, you know, and people call all the time. They tell me, you're a preacher, CT. CT's preaching. I'm like, damn, that motherfucker was right.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was pretty much dead on, but not in the way he thought.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it, man. Unless we see anything really good, I guess we're done here. So that's it for today. We're out.
Thanks, everybody.
Cool.
Good stuff, man. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Mark Bell Powercast is a production of